If I preach the gospel, there is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. So says St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians today. And elsewhere in his second letter to the Thessalonians, he says this: Pray that we may be delivered from confused and evil men. We command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to avoid any brother who wanders from the straight path and does not follow the tradition you received from us. And then he continues, If anyone will not obey our injunction, single him out to be ostracized, that he may be ashamed of his conduct. But do not treat him like an enemy. Rather, correct him as you would a brother. And then in his letter to the Galatians, Paul says this, I am amazed that you are so soon deserting him who called you in accord with his gracious design in Christ, and are going over to another gospel. But there is no other. Some who wish to alter the gospel of Christ must have confused you. For even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel not in accord with the one delivered to you, let a curse be upon him. I repeat what I have said. If anyone preaches a gospel to you other than the one you received, let a curse be upon him. Now, just a point of fact, which I'm sure is obvious to everyone. I have absolutely no authority over a bishop, including my own Bishop Sheridan, or any conference of bishops, or any pope. However, as long as I am obedient to my bishop, Bishop Sheridan, and I am faithful to the magisterial teaching of the church, under canon law and in my office of pastor of St. Mark Catholic Church, I do have authority over this parish. But I always endeavor to exercise this authority as a loving father, because objectively, that's what I am. I am your spiritual father. Not primarily as your friend, though on a human level, I certainly desire us to be friends, but primarily as your father. So what I'm about to say is said to you out of paternal fatherly love for you, out of love for your well-being, and most especially out of love for your eternal soul. When I get to the pearly gates, God willing, the conversation that I'm going to have with God might very likely be something like this. God asking me, how did you teach my people my revelation and help them to get to me here in heaven? And then a possible follow-up question along the lines of what St. Paul says. God may very well ask me, did you preach my gospel? Or did you preach so as to avoid discomfort or avoid losing friends? I absolutely know how I hope I will be able to answer. I preached your gospel, Lord. To that end, I must deal with the elephant in the room, and that is the early actions of our new president, Joe Biden. I preached about this in a general way before the election, but my fears have come to pass. But rather than share my personal opinions, which are my pastoral, my official position opinions, rather I'm going to quote a number of bishops who are absolutely appropriate in these issues and are directly related to them, and they have spoken strongly and firmly about what has happened. Now, I'm very grateful for their words, which I will share with you, although a question that I have of them is, where were you before the election? Now, lest you shut down because hearing these words sounds to you political, I assure you they are not. There is nothing political about them. They are absolutely words about the subject of our faith. And in fact, the most foundational, fundamental elements of our faith. So to begin, first from the Most Reverend Jose Gomez, who's the Archbishop of Los Angeles. And, oh, by the way, he's the head, he's the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the USCCB. Archbishop Gomez says this, "As pastors, the nation's bishops are given the duty of proclaiming the gospel in all its truth and power, in season and out of season, even when that teaching is inconvenient or when the gospel's truths run contrary to the directions of the wider society and culture." Archbishop continues, "So I must point out that our new president has pledged to pursue certain policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity, most seriously in the areas of abortion, contraception, marriage, and gender." So, of deep concern, according to Archbishop, is the liberty of the church and the freedom of believers to live according to their consciences. "Our commitments," he says, "on the issues of human sexuality and the family, as with our commitments in every other area, such as abolishing the death penalty or seeking a healthcare system and economy that truly serves the human person, are guided by Christ's great commandment to love and to stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters, especially the most vulnerable." For the nation's bishop, Archbishop Gomez says, "The continued injustice of abortion remains the preeminent priority." He says preeminent does not mean only. We have deep concerns about many threats to human life and dignity in our society, but as Pope Francis teaches, we cannot stay silent when nearly a million unborn lives are being cast aside in our country year after year through abortion. He says, "Abortion is a direct attack on life that also wounds the woman and undermines the family. It is not only a private matter, it raises troubling and fundamental questions of fraternity, solidarity, and inclusion in the human community. It is also a matter of social justice. We cannot ignore the reality that abortion rates are much higher among the poor and minorities, and that the procedure is regularly used to eliminate children who would be born with disabilities." That from Archbishop Gomez. Now Archbishop Joseph Naumann, who is the Archbishop in Kansas City, and he's also the chairman of the USCCB Pro-Life Activities Committee, a very staunch and bold defender of human life from conception to natural death. He and Bishop David Malloy, who is the chair of the Bishop's International Justice and Peace Committee, released a statement saying this, "It is grievous that one of President Biden's first official acts actively promotes the destruction of human lives in developing nations. This executive order is antithetical to reason, violates human dignity, and is incompatible with Catholic teaching." Then Archbishop separately went on to say this, "The fact that President Biden identifies himself as a devout Catholic while working to preserve and expand legalized abortion, even using tax dollars to fund abortion, presents a unique challenge to the bishops of the United States. President Biden's actions are confusing Catholics and non-Catholics regarding the Church's teaching on the evil of abortion. It is the responsibility of the bishops of the United States," he says, "to defend the most fundamental of all human rights, the right to life, and to protect the integrity of Catholic moral teaching. We cannot," he says, "abdicate either of these responsibilities, even as we are eager to work with everyone to promote the common good. We must continue to speak to President Biden, as well as all Catholics, and even all Americans, about the truth of what abortion is. Abortion is not something to be celebrated. It is not health care. It is the intentional killing of a child. To participate in abortion or to promote abortion is a grave evil. He goes on, we also have an obligation to clarify church teaching on abortion and to prevent confusion caused by those who claim the mantle of Catholicism, yet reject fundamental church teaching. This may involve publicly addressing these leaders to eliminate any misunderstanding about what the church truly professes. He then says, he calls on bishops and laity across the country to pray and fast for Biden, but also for all of us, and we for ourselves, that President Biden will cease attempting to confuse people about Catholic teaching by trampling on the sanctity of human life while presenting himself as a devout Catholic. When asked about how he deals with the problem of pro-abortion politicians who claim to be Catholic presenting themselves for Holy Communion, the Archbishop said that if dialoguing with them produces no fruit, he requests that they not present themselves to receive. And I can vouch for this. When I used to live in Kansas, he admonished the then governor, Sebelius, the exact same thing. He had multiple conversations with her. She refused to change her pro-abortion stance, and he publicly called her out and asked her not to receive communion and to repent. He then goes on, if even after an extended dialogue, a Catholic in public life persists in scandalous actions, I have found it necessary to request that they not present themselves to receive Holy Communion for their own spiritual welfare and for the protection of many others from moral confusion. Archbishop concludes his comments with these words, Jesus never promised his disciples that following him would be easy. In fact, our Lord told them if they wanted to be his disciple that they had to be willing to take up the cross. Jesus did, however, promise his disciples that he would be with us until the end of time. Jesus tells us, Archbishop says, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who is life itself, has already won the victory over sin and death. We know, therefore, with complete and utter confidence that life will be victorious. Adversity only makes our love purer and more powerful. That from Archbishop Naumann. And finally, from our own Bishop Sheridan, who says this, Archbishop Gomez is concerned for the souls of all the faithful, not just the president's. When he writes, when politicians who profess the Catholic faith support abortion rights, there are additional problems. Among other things, it creates confusion among the faithful about what the Catholic Church actually teaches on these questions. Now, these very powerful words from our own Bishop Sheridan. He says, if anyone reading this column is confused about the Church's teaching on abortion, please pause and read the following very carefully. Abortion is the deliberate killing of a human being. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. Direct abortion, that is to say, abortion willed either as an end or a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. Bishop Sheridan continues, President Biden has made it very clear that he will soon begin an all-out attack on the right to life of unborn infants. On January 22nd, the 48th anniversary of the truly ill-advised Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, the president promised to codify Roe as the law of the land. Such a move would take Roe out of the hands of the Supreme Court and enshrine it as federal law. So Bishop Sheridan asks this, so what are the millions of Catholics who stand strong for the right to life, the right of every human being from conception to natural death, to do? Well, he cites again Archbishop Gomez, who assures us that, quote, for the nation's bishops, the continued injustice of abortion remains the preeminent priority. Bishop Sheridan says that means that we bishops will do all in our power to preach the gospel of life, That is our agenda for the foreseeable future. He then says, of course, there are other important problems that need the attention of the country, but are there any that come close to the importance of that named by Archbishop Gomez? Issues like immigration, climate change, poverty, the economy are not unimportant, but they can be dealt with dialogue and prudential decisions. When it comes to abortion, however, there can be no dialogue, no prudential action. Abortion is intrinsically evil, and there is no amount of talking or legislation that can make it otherwise. In the closing words of the Archbishop's letter, Bishop Sheridan says, he asks us to entrust our hopes and anxieties in this new moment to the tender heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Christ, and the patroness of this exceptional nation. May she guide us in the ways of peace and obtain for us wisdom and the grace of a true patriotism and love of country. My brothers and sisters, I cannot say it any better than these faithful bishops, and I stand wholeheartedly with them. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us, poor sinners.